I know it's a part of the NBA, but it's definitely tough, you know, people going out, in and out of, you know, the lineup and things like that. Especially with the young team that we have, we need everything that we can get. And, you know, a lot of people going out is tough, but I mean, it's a part of it. So we got to stay together. I think we got a good group of guys, good mentalities. And I think you just got to shift your focus. It got to be progression and getting better. I think everybody has to have that on their mindset rather than it's not always going to come out and win. But as long as we're getting better every game, then, I think that's a win for us.
Hey, Rip City, this is Matisse Leibel, and it's time to open the briefcase with Casey Holdall.
Greetings, Blazer fans, and welcome to The Briefcase, episode 81 of The Briefcase. I'm your host, Casey Holdall, and that was Jeremy Grant discussing the Trailblazers' injuries and staying motivated as losses pile up for this team as we get into the last 2 months of the season. Obviously, as we talked about a lot this year, this season really more about development than wins and losses for the Trailblazers, though when you lose 9 straight, when you have so many players who have injuries, it's difficult to feel like you're making progress or you're getting better at things. So I feel like Jeremy's comments there are a good indication that there are still things the team is working on, there are still goals that they have, it's just you have to do those more internally when you're losing as many games as the Blazers have recently. Portland went winless in the month of February and have lost 9 straight, 7 of those at the Moda Center, and the Blazers now head out for 3 games, a back-to-back in Memphis, followed by their second game of the season in Minneapolis versus the Timberwolves, before returning home to play 6 straight. We'll recap Tuesday's loss to the Heat, discuss yet another injury, check in on how the Trailblazers have fared versus the spread lately, and hear from one of the newest Trailblazers, Delano Banton, on this edition of The Briefcase. Blazers wrapped up one of their longest homestands of the season with a 106-96 loss to the Miami Heat Tuesday night at Moda Center. Blazers scored the first 8 points and led by as many as 15 points in the first quarter and 10 in the intermission, which gave one the indication the Blazers had a pretty good chance of getting their only win in the month of February in their last try. But unfortunately, DeAndre Ayton sprained his right hand late in the first half of Tuesday's game after collision with Kevin Love. He would not return to the game after posting a double-double in the first half. Blazers would go on to be outscored by 20 in the second half to come away with a 10-point loss. Much of that probably due to the fact that DeAndre Ayton wasn't able to come back and play. He was doing a great job against Bam Adebayo, definitely winning that matchup of centers. DeAndre Ayton with quite a bit more size than Bam Adebayo, and it showed. If DeAndre Ayton had been able to play in the second half, I think the Blazers end up winning that game, but that obviously wasn't the case. X-rays came back negative, so that's good news. I believe he did have more imaging on that wrist. According to Sean Hyken, more imaging was done, and DeAndre Ayton is now listed as day-to-day. Not sure entirely what his status is going to be going forward for that 3-game road trip, but if I had to guess, I'd say he probably misses at least one of those games, perhaps even more than that. We'll have to wait and see when they release the injury report on Thursday afternoon. I don't believe the team is going to practice on Thursday. I believe they're leaving early for Memphis, so we won't know what his status or the status of anyone else on the team is for this upcoming road trip until Thursday afternoon. Even though they weren't able to get a win versus the Heat, a fairly good performance for the Trailblazers in that one, particularly in terms of some individual performances. 26 points, 4 assists for Anfernee Simons after a dreadful shooting night versus the Hornets one night before. Jeremy Grant, 24 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and 3 steals in 40 minutes as well. Phenomenal game for Jeremy Grant there. Tumani Kamara having one of his better games of his rookie season. 17 points on 50% shooting from the field and 2 of 2 shooting from 3 to go with 10 rebounds, 3 assists in 32 minutes. And as I mentioned, DeAndre Ayton only playing 18 minutes, did not play in the second half. 12 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. A very nice night for DeAndre. Would have been a great night for DeAndre if he was able to play in that second half. Hopefully that injury is nothing too awful serious. It did keep him out of the second half of that game, so that is some cause for concern. But as I mentioned, x-rays came back negative. I believe he had more imaging, probably an MRI on that hand. Team is saying that it's a sprain as of right now. So again, pretty good news. The fact that the Blazers are basically playing for development right now would lead me to believe they're probably not going to rush anyone back, let alone a guy like DeAndre Ayton, who's already missed some time this season, and has probably been Portland's best player since the calendar turned over to 2024. So they're going to be very careful with that injury, whatever the severity of it is. Hopefully he's able to get back out there soon. But again, I think at this point in time, particularly where the Blazers are at and this point in the season, with so many players out as well, I wouldn't all be surprised if perhaps they're going to play that very safe with DeAndre, as I assume they're playing it very safe with both Malcolm Brogdon and Scoot Henderson as well. And since we're on the topic, and since it's defined very much Portland's season this year, let's just go ahead and talk about injuries here. Malcolm Brogdon, the team did give an update of sorts a few days ago. Team says that he was reevaluated for his elbow tendonitis and is making good progress in his recovery. Brogdon will continue to ramp up with an anticipated return to action. Anticipated return to action would lead me to believe that he is going to play again at some point in time this season. There's still a month and a half of the season to go. Hopefully that tendonitis is not too awful bad. But once again, Malcolm Brogdon, a veteran player, a guy who I know they're going to be very careful with. They obviously don't want Malcolm to get injured either for himself or for the Trailblazers. It would be bad for everybody involved, particularly when you're in a season right now where wins and losses, again, don't really matter a whole lot for this team. So I imagine they're going to play that really slow with Malcolm Brogdon. I'd be a bit surprised if he played on this upcoming three-game road trip, perhaps when the team comes back for this extended homestand, but we'll have to wait and see on that one. Kind of same idea with Scoot Henderson. He's missed the last three games due to a left adductor strain. There's been no official update, though Chauncey Billups did note that Scoot isn't doing much, if anything, on the court as of right now. I believe he did have an MRI. MRI came back clean, so that's good news there. But particularly with all of those core muscle injuries the team has had as of late, I'm sure they're going to play that very careful, if for no other reason too, then obviously Scoot is a rookie and they're very much invested in his future. So they don't want to do anything that's going to result in him making that injury any worse and having to undergo surgery, like so many other players on this team have had to undergo, up to and including Shaedon Sharpe just a few weeks ago. Once again, we won't know Scoot's official status for Friday's game, the first of two games versus the Grizzlies, though prior to Tuesday's game, Chauncey Billups said that Scoot really wasn't doing much on the court, which would lead me to believe that it's probably fairly unlikely that he plays in Friday's game versus the Grizzlies in Memphis, which also obviously puts Saturday's game in Memphis in jeopardy. So I would guess maybe best case scenario, we see Scoot Henderson, and this is just a pure guess on my part, in the third game of that road trip versus the Timberwolves. But even then, I wouldn't be so certain about that. I guess what I'm saying is I'd be a bit surprised if he played in either of the two games in Memphis. Maybe he plays in the game in Minnesota, but I also wouldn't be surprised if he didn't play in any of those games. I just think it's probably fairly unlikely at this point, if he hasn't been doing much on the court as of late, that he is going to go out there and play in two games, back-to-back games versus the Grizzlies. I would actually just guarantee that he's not going to play in back-to-back games. That seems very unlikely to me at this point. They're going to go very slow with that injury. They're going to make sure he's completely squared away before they put him back out there. And I imagine that's probably going to take a little bit more time than we're going to have on this road trip. And while it sounds like DeAndre and the Blazers avoided the worst with that right hand injury, if I had to guess, I'd say he probably misses at least one game on this trip, which would be a shame for a host of reasons. First and foremost, as I mentioned, he's been Portland's best player in 2024. After a slow start to his career in Portland, or at least it's an uneven start because of injuries, I've really liked what we've seen out of DeAndre as of late. He's been dialed in, a double-double machine, a guy who's doing it very efficiently. Would love to see him be able to get back out there sometime soon. Not sure if we're going to see that just yet. Again, I'm sure they're going to take all the time that they feel like they need, and probably even a little then some, until DeAndre gets back out there. The fact that the x-ray and the MRI seemingly came back clean, I'm assuming the MRI got done, by the way, too. I haven't actually heard anything official about that, but it does stand to reason they had more imaging. Chauncey Billups did mention there would be more imaging done on that wrist as well. And any time there's any more in imaging other than an x-ray, you can usually assume that that means an MRI, but we'll have to wait and see on that. But again, I'd be a little surprised if DeAndre played in the first game versus the Grizzlies. Maybe he gets back out there for the second game. If not, perhaps he plays versus the Timberwolves. And then if not in that one, obviously we're looking at that homestand. Maybe they give him a little more time at that point just to get that hand right before they put him back out there. We'll have to wait and see on that one. But once again, another injury that I imagine is going to take another starter out of the lineup for the Trailblazers, at least for some period of time. And finally, circling back to Shaedon Sharpe, still a month away at absolute best after undergoing that lower abdominal surgery just prior to All-Star break. They've already talked a lot about how Shaedon wants to get back out there. I know the team wants to get Shaedon back out there. Obviously, getting a chance to see Shaedon develop this year was going to be one of the biggest and most important things in Portland this season. Really haven't gotten a chance to see that because of injuries. He had a pretty good start to the season. Then he started to have some injuries with that adductor, that core muscle injury, slowed him down a bit, in and out of the lineup. Ended up having to undergo surgery. So if he's able to come back, it'd be nice to see him back out there. I think the team has also realized too that after having a number of players with that injury, they probably learned a few things about how that rehabilitation goes and maybe what the best practices are for that rehabilitation. So at this point, I imagine that they would like to see Shaedon get back out there before the end of the season. Whether or not that happens, yet to be determined, but we do know that that probably won't happen if it's going to happen, at least for another month or so. Moving on, with about a month and a half to go in the 2023-24 season, the Blazers sit in 29th in offensive rating at 108.1 points scored per 100 possessions. The only team that is worse is the Memphis Grizzlies, who, as I mentioned, the Blazers will face in back-to-back games on Friday and Saturday in Memphis. So the 30th offense versus the 29th offense, Friday and Saturday in Memphis. Go ahead and get those tickets now. There were two teams that really do scrap and fight hard, so I imagine that's going to be a good, interesting series. Both those teams, too, having a hard time getting wins this year, so I imagine both will be very motivated in both of those games, even if it might be a little more bunned from an offense perspective. And then on the other side of the ball, the Blazers are 22nd in defensive rating at 117.1 points allowed per 100 possessions, which is basically unchanged from the last time we checked in last week. The Blazers are behind the Mavericks in 21st and ahead of the Raptors in 23rd when it comes to defensive rating. And finally, the difference between Portland's offensive rating and their defensive rating is their net rating. And at minus 9, the Blazers sit at 28th ahead of only the Wizards and Hornets in net rating this season. And just for posterity, since we're at the end of the month, the Blazers are 27th in offensive rating, 25th in defensive rating, and 30th in net rating in the month of February, a month that saw the Blazers go 0-9, though the Wizards ended up going 0-11 in February. I'm not sure if they have another game in February, if they're going to squeeze one in on a leap day, but if not, the NBA will have two teams that went winless in the month of February. I also believe that that's maybe the first time the Blazers have ever gone winless in a full month. I believe I might have heard that somewhere. Those are the kind of stat milestones that you generally don't want to surpass, so I'm not going to look too much into that, but I believe that might have been the first time the Blazers did not log a win in the full month of a season. Obviously, you know, you got short months, October, April, and you could also claim, too, that February is also a short month because of the All-Star break, but long story short, no wins in February. Would have been nice to get a couple. Would have been nice to get one. Just wasn't the case. And as disappointing as it is to lose 9 straight as the Blazers have, it's almost worse that they've also failed to cover in 7 consecutive contests. Since the All-Star break, the Blazers were 8-point underdogs to the Nuggets and lost by 15, 3.5-point favorites to the Hornets and lost by 13, which, by the way, the Blazers are now 1-5 in games this season in which they're the favorite. So Las Vegas, please, I'm begging you, don't make the Blazers favorites anymore this season. When you look at the rest of their schedule, they probably won't be anyways, but I'm just going to go ahead and put in my ask nonetheless. And they were 7-point dogs to the Heat and lost by 10 Tuesday night. Portland hasn't covered since they were 15-point underdogs to the Nuggets on February 4th in a game that they ended up losing by 9 in Denver. So not only did the Blazers go 0-9 in February, they went 2-7 versus the spread in February as well. Good teams win, great teams cover. Fortunately, the Trailblazers aren't doing either right now. And as for their season projection, the Blazers at this point would need to go 14-9 in order to hit the over on the 28.5 win projection that Las Vegas set for the team this season. And at this point, especially with the number of injuries that they're currently dealing with, it seems incredibly unlikely that the Blazers are going to hit that over of 29 wins. Obviously, anything could happen. They could go on a run, they could catch fire, but they really haven't done that this season. And at this point, with as many players as they have out, and at some point in time, assuming that they're really going to lean into development, going 14-9 or getting 14 more wins when they only have 15 wins on the season just does not seem very likely. It's not impossible, but it's whatever a rung before impossible is. Well, before we wrap up this edition of The Briefcase, let's go ahead and hear from Delano Banton, 6'8", 204-pound guard forward out of Nebraska, who the Blazers acquired at the trade deadline from the Boston Celtics. In 6 games with the Trailblazers, Delano Banton is averaging 8.8 points, 2.8 rebounds, and 1.7 assists in 17.0 minutes per game. Banton's still trying to find his place in the league after playing 64 games his rookie season with the Raptors, 31 games his sophomore season, but then appearing in just 24 games in his third season, his first out of Toronto with the Boston Celtics. Now in Portland, have an opportunity to show what he can do. Blazers quite thin on players at this point, so I imagine Delano Banton's going to play quite a few minutes as we enter the last month and a half of the season. So during the course of the interview, got a chance to talk to Delano about his time in Portland, the differences between playing for the Boston Celtics and the Portland Trailblazers, considering the different places that both those teams are at in terms of their competitiveness, if a perfect situation exists for him, how he would describe his own game, growing up in Toronto, basketball in Canada, now and then, his journey to the NBA, and what his hopes are for himself and for the team going into the last month and a half of the season. Really enjoyed talking to Delano. I think you're going to like it as well. Give it a listen.
Right here with Delano Banton. Delano, thank you for taking some time with me here. So first off, just how have your first couple weeks gone here in Portland with the team?
So far, so good. Everyone accepted me with open arms. Definitely loving the fan base, them showing me a lot of love, them accepting me. And, you know, it's been great so far, just trying to, you know, figure out a way to piece it together and get some wins.
So what has it been like going from a team like the Celtics to the Blazers? Obviously, you know, they're kind of at a different place in where they're at competing right now. How has that been for you going from that situation to this situation?
Definitely an adjustment. Just feeling like just trying to find where you fit in. Yeah. Definitely playing for the Celtics, not cracking the rotation as much as I wanted to, or just finding myself being in like a stay ready group, trying to find ways to, you know, stay ready and, you know, whenever my name is called, make the best of the opportunity that I get. But here, just kind of, you know, with Coach Chauncey, just, you know, telling me be aggressive when I do get out there. And, you know, the team kind of just putting me in positions to make plays. I feel like that's definitely a big jump for me. And in my development, I'm coming from the Celtics, not having that for when I did play more of like off ball cutter, crasher, and then, you know, coming in here, getting the reps, getting the ball, getting to play off ball screens and stuff like that. So it's definitely been a switch. Definitely loving it so far. Just, you know, like I said before, just trying to figure out a way to put it together for 48 minutes to get a win.
I know, obviously, like, you're going to do whatever they ask you to do, but what do you feel like would be the ideal situation for you in the NBA? Like, what would be a perfect situation for Delano Banton?
I couldn't even say, man. My time in the league, it's been like a roller coaster. It's been a lot of up and downs. But one thing that I could say I've learned is just through the up and downs, trying to stay the course, stay going on, you know, one level instead of going up, following the roller coaster with your emotions, and just kind of be a professional every day. So it's hard for me to pick a perfect situation because I don't think it'll ever be that. So I just got to grind towards that, and, you know, hopefully the perfect picture comes. But, you know, for now, I'm just loving the process, loving the grind, and, you know, I got to stay in the moment to, you know, be able to be here every day and be present in what I'm doing.
That's a good point, too. I guess there, in some respects, yeah, why concern yourself with something that you don't need to? You're in the reality you're in now, so that probably makes more sense to consider that. In that regard, too, how would you describe the way that you play, or the, if you were going to describe to someone, this is how Delano Banton plays, this is what he does well, what would you say?
I would say just having a feel for the game. So whatever that is, just being able to make plays, whether that's, you know, making the right read, getting an assist, scoring. I feel like just trying to be able to do the right thing on the court every time, whether it's a hockey assist or, you know, things of that regard. So I think just having a feel for the game, knowing when to cut or, like, when not to cut, just kind of that, I would say. Definitely using my versatility. So, you know, using my length, using my height on defense, trying to rebound. So I kind of just think, like, just being able to just play the game, I would say, and just kind of figure out how to know how to play. I think that goes a long way as well. So I'll kind of say that.
You talk about being in the stay-ready group, and I know that that's kind of a thing that a lot of young guys in the NBA have to deal with. How do you go about always kind of having that edge to where, like, you're always trying to be prepared for whatever situation they're going to be put into?
Definitely trusting in your work, trusting in your routine. You know, early on in the league, or like young guys in the league, just that's probably the hardest thing to do is find a routine and, you know, stick to it, whether, you know, it is the ups and downs, or like one game you play 20 minutes, the next game you don't play. So sticking to that same routine would definitely help you get through your days. I would say that definitely helps me. And, you know, trusting in the work that I put in. I feel like, you know, every day we work hard and, you know, we grinded our whole life for this. Whether you're in the rotation or not, just when you get in the game, just know that what you have done to get to this point is obviously something. So just trust in the work that you put in and be confident.
Yeah. I know you started putting that work in at a young age when you were growing up in Toronto, in Rexdale. What was it like as a young man in Canada playing basketball? Or just like, what was your upbringing like?
My upbringing was good. Definitely for growing up in Rexdale, just a very community-like thing. Everyone was just, you know, I lived in a complex housing, so all my neighbors were like family to me. Still talk to them, and everybody that I grew up with I knew, like, literally since I was very, very young. So it was definitely good. Basketball-wise, I feel like, well, maybe it's different now, but when I grew up, it was more outside playing. I never really had, like, me in the gym by myself ever until I went to prep school in the States when I was probably, like, 16, 17. So there was no, like, one-on-one training. I never had that. But, like, there would always be, like, runs and, like, pickup and stuff. So, like, I used to go from, like, pickup here to pickup here. So kind of just like that, just trying to find ways to play whenever I can.
Yeah, and that's kind of one of the things I wanted to ask you about is that, you know, the Raptors came to Toronto, I believe, like 4 or 5 years before you were born. And so I'm curious, kind of what was the state of basketball like, or at least from your perspective, like where was basketball at then, particularly compared to where it is now, where it seems like it's really started to grow a lot in Canada?
Definitely felt like back then you had to, you know, cross the border in order to get seen. Definitely now, like, you know, a lot of talent coming out, high school guys. You know, a lot more, and just with social media, a lot of people are noticed more. So, you know, there's a lot more scouts and stuff going over to Canada to see the kids play. Like, even in high school and stuff like that, they'll have like Division I scouts and coaches there. So, you know, it took a big jump from where it was like when I was there. And like, there's a lot more like, so when I was there, it was just high school basketball, or like it was the first year that they were like implementing the prep scene into high school. But I left the following year to go to the States. But yeah, so through that year, it was kind of like just them testing it. But like, yeah, and like now it's big. Like, it started off with, like, Jamal Murray, like, Thon Maker and those guys, I believe. They were all on one team, and, like, they kind of just attracted everyone. And then now, like, they put it so, like, there's, like, prep schools in Canada. So, like, all the best schools we'll have like a prep team throughout wherever, and then so coaches will watch that, a lot of coaches. So it got a lot better, but I felt like I had to go to the States, and it was really good for me. And I thought that everyone should do that, because right when I got to the States, like 2 days later, I got my first offer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was literally like I got there, the next day was like orientation, then we went to the gym, but the next day was like they do pickup runs, I guess, in prep schools, and like during pickup all the like scouts just come watch you play during pickup. So it was like the first time they ever watched me play, I got an offer, and I was happy, man. I'm like, yeah, I should have did this earlier. Yeah. Like, you know, I felt like I was doing something, but for sure, yeah.
Yeah, I bet you're probably, you know, away from home, maybe a little home, but yeah, if you're in one run and all of a sudden you're getting offers, it's like, hey, this is the right move. And I know obviously that's kind of what Shane did too. You know, he came to the States to play as well. And I wonder, do you feel like maybe it's getting to the point, Canada, now where maybe some guys will start staying now and maybe doing it now that it's getting built out a little bit more?
Yeah. No, guys have stayed. Like previous kids who came up, they were like number one in the country, like Elijah Fisher. Mm-hmm. I think he played high school all throughout his high school career and then ended up going Division I after that. But they'll definitely find you. Like, you know, talent is talent. And I feel like the NBA or like college does a really good job of like picking talent and finding talent wherever you are in the world. Like, it's crazy. It's one thing I definitely realized through my time. But yeah.
How would you describe kind of your basketball journey? So obviously from Toronto to, as you mentioned, you go to prep school in New England, Western Kentucky, Nebraska, drafted by the Raptors. Kind of how would you sum up that experience for you getting to this point where you're at now in the NBA?
I'll definitely say it's a crazy experience, but I wouldn't trade it for nothing. Just the amount of work that it takes, the amount of hours you put into the gym just trying to get to your goal. Whether you find yourself out of rotations, you know, my first stop at Western Kentucky, I didn't play that much, as much as I wanted to. And then transferring, having to sit out at Nebraska. So it's kind of, it's up and down, but when you look back at it, it's the process and time flies, man. Like, looking at it, I remember when I was transferring from Western Kentucky going to Nebraska, I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do for a year. Like, I just want to play, you know? And then, like, now it's like I'm in my third year in the league, and time flies, so. If there's one thing I realize, is just kind of stay in the moment, like I was saying before. And like, obviously you think about your future and you work hard and you grind and you know what you're grinding for, but you don't want to lose sight of what you're doing today. Like, you know, and that's one thing that I kind of, through coaches and through like having mentorship through the NBA, I kind of realized, and just talking to older vets, just making them make me realize, like, yo, like take in what you have today. Cause like, you know, 2 years from now, you're going to be like, yo, like, even like now, it's like, yo, I got drafted to the Raptors. And when I tell people that, I had a great time, you know? So it's like time flies. So kind of just trying to stick with it, stay in the moment, and, you know, be present.
Yeah. When did being an NBA player really seem like a reality for you?
It was always a dream, like, but a reality, I would say, probably my last year of high school. Or like, I don't know, it's always a dream. So like, even during college, it's like, yo, you want to go to the NBA so bad, even if you have a chance. But I remember when I went to Western Kentucky, we also had Charles Bassey, who's on the Spurs now. Yeah, so I remember before I committed, like, that was like one of my things. I'm like, I know if I'm in a position where people could see me, then I could, like, you know. So I just took that advantage, and then Charles committed, and then I committed after. And then I remember we had pro day, and there was like every coach, every like scout, everyone was there to see Charles. I remember I had a good day. I had a really good day that day. You know, I took advantage of that. So after that, I remember like three days later, like, people kept hitting me up, like a bunch of people, like saying, yo, this, that, they're talking about you, like, you know. So I'm like, I didn't even feel like I did. It was because it was more so like, it was kind of like an open run thing, like, where you get the offers from the gym, but it's like, you don't feel like you're doing, because it's like pickup practice. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, so it's like, all right, like, you know, I just got to whatever. And then the season came, I didn't really, I played up to the first half. I remember I had a really good game against Wisconsin, but we had a senior point guard who never played the first half of the season when I got there as a freshman. So when he came back, I went to the bench, and then he started, and then I didn't play after that. But yeah, I transferred after that, and then got to meet Fred Hoiberg, who's another great mentor that I got to meet, and he definitely helped me get to the NBA and know what I have to do to get here.
Well, that's a really good point too, is that sometimes, you know, those opportunities come where you don't expect them, or like, you could even like try to set things up to where you feel like you're going to accomplish something, but you really have to be ready for those stay ready moments when maybe the opportunity just presents itself a little bit.
Yeah, facts. Yeah, but shout out to Fred Hoiberg too.
That's
guy.
Great.
That's my guy.
Last one here for you, Delana. Thank you so much, by the way, for the time too. Going forward the rest of the season, next couple months, kind of what are your hopes for the team and for yourself?
And just, you know, kind of just trying to push what Coach Chauncey's been pushing to us. You know, just working on the things that we need to work on as a unit. you know, just staying, not slapping ourselves in the face. You know, it's been a tough little road for us, tough month, I should say, tough February. So I'm just kind of knowing what we need to do and just figuring out ways to piece it together, man. I feel like one thing I can say is, like, when winning, I would say, like, winning always looks different. You know, we have a lot of talented guys on our team, so it could be DA, it could be Jeremy, it could be Scoot, it could be Ant, that have their night that day. And then I would say when you're losing, it stays consistent, like shot margins, turnovers, rebounding. So kind of just trying to win the margins, definitely just figuring out ways to do that. Definitely with a young group too, like just trying to figure out ways to make the game easier for ourselves. So that's definitely shot margins. That's, you know, free throws attempted, turnovers, transition, offensive rebounds. So, you know, when you break down the game like that and you look at it from that perspective, if you lose all six important shot, you know, of the spectrum, six important margins, like there's chances of you winning, goes very down. So, you know, kind of stuff like that, just preaching that, you know, 25 point quarters, you get two of those, you know, your chance goes up winning like 60% or something like that. So kind of just like the little things that, like, maybe from the analytics standpoint, I would say, or like, but just trying to find ways to win, definitely, you know, trying to, you know, make a mark with the team, you know, for this summer and going into next season. Definitely, I love the vibe here. Definitely, you know, could see myself being here, would want to be here. And, you know, everyone's here pushes you. Everyone wants to work. Everyone's working hard. And, you know, I definitely feel like with the coaching staff, they like, go above and beyond to make sure players get what they need and have what they need. And, you know, they're always there to work. They're extra, extra encouraging to work. And, you know, they're a great group of guys to help, you know, coach and mentor young guys, I believe, too. Because, you know, a lot of us are very young, aside from, like, JG, who's, you know, pushing a little bit of age. But, you know, I feel like, yeah, man, it's a great group of staff to help mentor the kids that are here, guys that are here. But yeah, like, you know, very talented young group of guys who have, like, you know, a bright future in the league. So I would say, yeah, man, it's gonna be good. It's gonna be fun, and I feel like just trying to come out with wins to, you know, go end the season on a positive note. And, you know, winning helps everyone's day to day. You know, you'll feel better. You walk into the gym, you'll feel better about yourself. So definitely just trying to get some wins.
Really good stuff there from Delano. Really enjoyed talking to him. A very bright young man. A guy who, you know, there's so many great players out there that sometimes it's really just a matter about finding your place, finding the right niche on your team. It's yet to be seen whether or not that's going to be in Portland for Delano, but I think there's a good chance of that. Having a ball handler with size is something we haven't had in Portland in some time. I think maybe since Evan Turner, and then before that, probably Nicholas Batum. So to have a guy in Delano Banton at 6'8", who's got great size, the ability to handle the ball, not the three-point shooter you would hope he would be at that guard position, which is a hard thing to do these days in the NBA. If you're not able to hit that three-point shot with some regularity, sometimes it is hard to stay on the court, but with his size and with his ability to get to the basket, as he learns more of Portland's offense, I think you're going to maybe see the best out of Delano Banton. I think he's got a pretty good chance of sticking with this team, particularly as he's able to put his best foot forward in these last 20-something games for the Trailblazers in the last month and a half of the season. And that's going to do it for this edition of The Briefcase. Thanks so much for joining me, as always. Be back later on this week with new additions. Check out the Blazers Balcony and Section 113 as well. Go to trailblazers.com/podcast for more information on how to subscribe to The Briefcase, to the Blazers Balcony, and to Section 113. As I mentioned, Trailblazers hitting the road for games on Friday and Saturday versus the Grizzlies. Sunday off, Monday versus the Timberwolves in Minneapolis before heading back home to play 6 straight. But until then, I'm Casey Holdall. Thank you once again for joining me on The Briefcase. Like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and go Blazers.